Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope this is doing well. Welcome to another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh. We're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, to please, please, please go to Apple Podcast and rate our podcast and leave us a comment or two. Also, as mentioned before in some previous episodes, our text line is back. Different number, but it's back nonetheless. Our new number is 704-886-6686. That's 704-886-6686. You can hit us up with a voicemail or a text, and we'll talk about you on the show in good ways, of course. Now, without further delay, let's go ahead and get this thing rolling. I'd like to introduce my partner, who is a connoisseur of all things cultural. He is my partner. Podcast crime. Reg, what's going on? Space age, nuclear, molecular, biomechanical pimping.
Fresh, I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, brother. What's happening, man? You keep adding some adjectives on that.
I mean, man, when the on that description. Is, when the pimping is so strong and so
biomechanical.
When the pimping is so strong, bro, I have to accentuate your pimping, man.
Just make it do what it do, baby.
Yeah, you know, on the loose. Ladies, Reg's DMs are open. Man. Go ahead and shoot your shot, ladies.
I'm chilling.
You need to run your resume down real quick, Reg?
I'm chilling, man. You know, I'm Reggie.com. Just reach me at Reggie.com.
So what we got going on today, bro?
A lot of stuff in the news, too much to really touch. But, one thing that, I think that struck the nerve of me and, both of us is that that new law in Illinois, regarding the, non-detainable offenses, what have you, lack of better terms.
Safety Act. I think that's what they call that shit.
Okay. And I thought maybe it'd be good to sort of touch on that, because it's sort of, if you think about it, a lot of these bills and laws that come in by states and, here and there, it is sometimes they sort of slide in, and you try to think about the timing of stuff that happens and who brings them in and why. And it's a lot of people in Chicago, of course, it's a very populous area. And, I would love to hear people from, any listeners or what have you from there to, their opinion of this, after we discuss the topic.
Right. Well, the crux of this particular law, which was on the surface when I read this motherfucker, man, was like, this shit is absolutely fucking crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
But let me preface our discussion by saying that there are political motivations behind this particular bill, especially from the Republican side, man. They'll use a bill like this to galvanize their base and say, hey, you see what these liberals are trying to do? They're trying to let these criminals free.
Right.
And I've mentioned this several times before, man. It's we as a people are subject to low quality information. If you've listened to this show, you know that I say that quite frequently. This particular bill, though, there are some nuances to it that, from a technical standpoint, can get really hairy depending on who your judge is. So let's take it from this perspective. Let's look at what's been shot across social media, because that's what motherfuckers pay attention to.
Right.
Okay. So we'll start with that. I got some information here.
Yeah. So, yeah. So the Illinois non-detainable offenses, right? Effective January 1st, 2023. And I think that's what we're referring to right now. There's a few bullet points of those offenses that are to be non-detainable, which include aggravated battery, aggravated DUI, aggravated fleeing, arson, burglary, drug-induced homicide, intimidation, kidnapping, robbery, second-degree murder. Dude, second-degree murder. Threatening a public official, which that has a lot of gray area there. Under this new law, after being charged with the crimes listed, those arrested would be released without bail pending a court date.
Now, this is the, let's just say this is one of the flashpoints with that. When you talk about non-detainable offenses, I think that the, well, I don't think these are facts. There is no such thing as a non-detainable offense in Illinois. Based on an article written by WGN, Illinois, major news outlet there, this particular act does not create any non-detainable offenses. The Illinois legislature has no such law. Certain crimes, including forcible felony, stalking, domestic abuse, guarantee the revocation of pretrial release, meaning that they will not be released after their arrest. So there's a conflict there. Again, we're talking about the information as it's being floated around for political use. Mm-hmm. Based on what I've read, it's true that none of the crimes automatically revoke pretrial release, meaning that it's not a given that you kidnap somebody and you're detained until your trial. Do you see the nuance there?
Yeah.
It's a technicality.
Pretty gray. And then when you said it depends on the judge or where you are.
It's not true. Well, it is true that none of the crimes automatically revoke pretrial release that were listed. It doesn't mean that if you commit these crimes, that you are guaranteed to be let out of jail to go free. A judge, again, this is according to news source WGN, a judge may revoke pretrial release from any perpetrator who poses a specific, real, and present threat to any person or the community. That can include perpetrators of any of the crimes that we just listed. So, you see the politics going on there?
That's usually how it is. And it gives leeway for attorneys to use that, like, put that in their back pocket. But, of course, it's up to the judge. And we know how judges are.
Judges can be bought.
Yeah. And, it's
in Illinois, who has some of the most historical...
Dude, this
historical chronicles of political corruption since what, the 1800s?
Dude, that's perfectly perfectly said. It reminds me, this is the Kyle Rittenhouse effect. I mean, you know, you just think about how he got off and how he was protected. Of course, his color protected him as well. But that's the first thing I thought too was, you know, it was a green light, you know, to some of these racists, you know, to commit crimes.
Right. And to have a judge in the pocket that's not gonna hold
judge
them accountable,
say, hey,
immediately.
Based on, you know, this new bill, whatever, this new law, yada yada yada. And they can be back out in the streets. That's the first thing that came to mind. Of course, brothers gonna do what they do and you know, as well. I think it's just a free fall for everybody. And, you know, we were chatting before and, you know, I said, as you talked about it being political, Illinois is technically a Democratic state. And Chicago definitely is. And so that's why I just want to throw in a plug why you know, some things you're liberal about, some things you're conservative about based on your beliefs and your values, too. So as you think politically, you know, just think right or wrong, or think what really impacts, you know, your everyday.
Right.
You know, but just want to throw that in.
And, you know, one other thing that was really, because again, I have to admit that I kind of fell victim to the numerous headlines. And there's one that I pass along to you. Can you read that particular headline as to how people take this? Yeah.
More than half of Winnebago County jail to walk outdoor January 1st. Good grief.
Right. Now,
per the state's attorney.
Right. That is not factual. I don't know what the affiliation of the Rockfield was, a Rockford Register Star.
Right.
I don't know, because, you know, news outlets lean left or right now. So I don't know what their particular affiliation is. However, the facts are that convicted criminals currently in jail will not be released. Someone who is arrested after January 1st may be released prior to the trial based on the assumption of innocence guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution. However, going back to what we're saying about the judge, a judge will have the power to determine whether a person should be released based on a public safety evaluation rather than the size of the defendant's wallet, meaning that whether or not they can make cash bail or not. Because that was one of the bigger things, too, in terms of why the law was being passed, because they're putting it under the veil of we're trying to eliminate cash bond that disproportionately affects Black and brown people.
Yeah.
But Republicans get a hold to it and say, you letting all these niggas and spicks run free.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
That's what they're thinking.
Yeah. I find in this article also, it says, imagine the defendant who murdered his wife, to whom he no longer possesses a threat, being released because of this ridiculous, according to this article, this ridiculously limited legal standard. Even more absurd, judges may no longer issue a warrant when a defendant fails to come to court. Instead, an absent defendant must next be served with a court order asking them again to appear and then fail to appear a second time before a warrant may be issued. It's going to be so many gray areas with this, man. And again, Rockford, this is like a county, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours northwest of Chicago. I'm putting Chicago as the focal point.
Yeah, the focal point.
But
seeing this, how they're violent as fuck.
Yeah. So it's, you know,
shout out to Chi-Town, but goddamn, y'all.
Even so, each county, and you said it before, each county is just going to be wherever you live. How great this may be. I would, maybe a year, 2 years from now, you know, certainly after January 1st of next year, we'll start to see how this impacts. But I think on the offset, bro, it's very eye-opening, because again, I think of what is it? How will it impact the Black community? Illinois, I mean, Chicago sucks up all the population of Illinois, basically. Everything outside of it is pretty much rural for the most part. So this is, it's really a Chicago area thing, right? And Chicago has concentrated highly with black, you know, black people. How do you, like, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of this, just in general, dealing with Cook County, which is Chicago? How do you think this will impact brothers and sisters there?
Well, I look at it like this, man. If you look at the details of the bill, and the fact of the matter is that the bill does abolish the money bail system, starting January 1st. So, and again, the Commission on Civil Rights had determined already that the cash bail system affects us more than anybody else. Okay. The concept of ending cash bail puts into the minds of people that dangerous motherfuckers are just going to be running loose.
Right.
So I'm getting to the answer to your question. The fact is that if a judge still has the power to determine whether or not a person should be released based on their threat to public safety, then it's going to be a lot of motherfuckers that's not going to have the opportunity to get out. And they're going to be sitting there until their case is adjudicated. Whereas before, you may have had an opportunity to post $10,000 bail.
Yeah.
You know, you get up off $1,000 and you out.
Yeah.
You know, you may have had that opportunity. Now, if that particular system is eliminated and everything is revolving around what a judge says, you're either going to go free on your own recognizance or you will be sitting there. So to answer your question a little bit more succinctly, there's going to be a whole lot more of us sitting there. Just sitting.
Just sitting in there?
Just sitting in there. Now, that can only sustain itself for so long until, you know, your county jails are busting out at the seams. You're going to have to adjudicate cases faster. Does that mean oversights here and there of details, wrongful convictions, wrongful releases?
Right.
You know, I mean, there's going to be some discombobulation there. There's going to be some issues when someone is set free, when they really deserve to be in the can. And then there's going to be some issues where a judge maybe had his panties up his ass one day and decided to keep somebody who was truly not a threat.
Yeah. Really, truly detain them.
Right. So, you know, you just don't, I mean, you don't know what's really going to happen. But at the end of the day, based on the history of this country, you know, the black folks going to be getting a raw deal either way.
Now, will that give a green light to law enforcement to say, hey, Johnny, we know he was arrested for said crime and he was released. So I'm going to go after him and probably, to me, it just like gives a green light to, for law enforcement to further execute black men and women with impunity. Hey, but you know what? He did do X, Y, and Z. He was released. So, you know, all it takes is, it takes, you know, I mean, outside of the I'm white and I say so rule, it can be like an excuse. Like if I know that you, what is it? Let's say pick one of these laws, right? Aggravated battery. I don't know. Let's just say robbery. Robbery is an easy one. Robbery. Well, I know that if Johnny's out on robbery, if he's released, I know he's going to, I know where he lives. And I can harass him. And I think it may also usher in what New York has been doing for years, like stop and frisk. I think it will sort of build upon where law it sort of in reinforces or empowers law enforcement to go after people who have been released. I don't know, maybe that's a conjecture, you know, of mine, but it possibly so.
Well, if the letter of this particular bill is followed to the letter, that may not be the case. It is well established that there are some individuals in law enforcement who don't need to be in law enforcement, that don't have the mental makeup or the mental capacity.
That goes without saying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we know this.
Yeah.
The sad thing about this particular act is that it doesn't necessarily remove cops from qualified immunity. You know, so it is going to enable them to maintain their level of power on paper and in their head.
Yeah.
However, this particular act establishes a task force on constitutional rights and remedies. And this group is tasked with developing and proposing policies and procedures to review and reforming constitutional rights and remedies, including the evaluation of Illinois' current qualified immunity system. So if a bipartisan task force finds that qualified immunity needs to be reformed, that will be addressed in future legislation, but not that particular bill. Now, there's also a second part of the bill. There's a section that introduces an anonymous complaint policy. I don't know how effective this will be, but it allows any person to file a complaint with the Illinois Law Enforcement Training Standards Board about the conduct of a police officer. So you're not going to his immediate supervisor or his unit commander or whatever the case may be.
File a complaint.
Yeah, you're going to file a complaint.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, giving a counterpoint to what you're saying, based on what the law is.
Who would they be filing it with, though?
The Illinois Law Enforcement Training Standards Board.
Oh, okay.
The board then reviews the claims. The complainant is allowed to remain anonymous to prevent retaliation or other repercussions of reporting conduct violations. The fact that you got to put that in there lets you know.
Right.
Yeah, this motherfucker, that's like witness protection.
Right. That's exactly what I was thinking.
If there's enough evidence to substantiate the claim, then the board will move forward with the investigation. That particular part of the bill starts 1/1/23. So there are some different outlets that, I mean, without being skeptical, without playing the role of the middle-aged black man that has seen too much shit, you know, having a third party field complaints that is outside of the department, if all things are equal, it's not necessarily a bad thing. But it's hard to have faith in a system that has been systematically killing us.
Especially in Illinois.
Especially. There's a lot of shit about Illinois, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think...
That shit is not on my list to go visit.
I think Chicago is a beautiful place, though. Have you been there?
It is a beautiful city, but I'm just
saying, it's a beautiful city, man. Beautiful black people, man. And food and stuff is... I mean, not like I visit there all the time, but I think Chicago means black. When people say, oh, black on black crime in Chicago, blah, 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 and killings and stuff, it, you know... I don't know. It's that's probably another show, to be honest, about you know, brothers doing some things in Chicago they shouldn't be doing, but it's, I think they highlight Chicago because the highly concentration of Southside Chicago being black, and we know that a lot of times it's some shady shit that goes on with crime in Chicago. But that's a side point. But I will say,
and that where the police had a motherfucking like a torture house, they was taking people that they was arresting.
Yeah,
and keeping them there and beating them up. And some other,
they did a lot of crazy shit. They were caught doing like setting up vans and like they had a whole thing where it was a whole disguise. They wear masks where they were looking like black men doing robberies and stuff too. That like that's documented. It's been some shady shit with Chicago that, I mean, I'm not saying that nobody is doing no crime in Chicago, you know, legitimately, but it's been some shadiness in the system there. I mean, what's the brother that was gunned down? Forget his name. I'd rather not try to mess his name up. That was shot in cold blood a couple of years ago. That his trial was sort of messy, if you will. But again, I go back to Illinois in general with Cal Rittenhouse. Do you know Cal Rittenhouse? There's a cultural center in Argentina called the Cal Rittenhouse Cultural Center. Like the impact of his case, you know, because, you know, he's from Illinois. He crossed state lines to commit the crimes that he did in Wisconsin a year or two ago, that where he was released and all this. And that was I think that sent a message to white America, or, you know, to racist America, if you will, to go out and do what you want to do. I think the bottom line of that is to really allow that. I mean, the bail system and all that, I know that impacts black folks mainly, trying to rid it. It's a lot of nuances in this law. For black folks, but I think bottom line, if another Cal Rittenhouse wanted to do and commit some act in Illinois, and especially in the Chicago area, it's a freaking green light, bro. It's a green light. And like you mentioned, based on what judge you got, you know, and what situation you have, what type of attorney situation you have as well, you could very well go home after shooting and killing several black folks, however you want to carry out what you carry out. That's just where my head. I think probably six. Where are we? September. I think 6 months, 6 to 8 months from now, we'll sort of look to see. I think we'll touch base on this to see, you know, how this thing plays out. Mm-hmm. You know, we won't see the impacts of things until they actually take effect. But I also think about a lot of times when bills and laws are passed in certain, you know, state related, it spills over into other states. And if it could like move people, maybe this is a way to move people out of Illinois. So population control in over into Iowa, Illinois, and Wisconsin, whatever, pushing away criminals fleeing. I don't know. This thing is a domino effect. You know what I'm saying? Usually bordering states have some type of, they reap the repercussions or the benefits or repercussions of their bordering states' laws and rules.
Yeah, the only thing that I could think that they could reap would be if people that were affected by these laws, if they move to a different state and they become contributing society members, because that way they expand your tax base. From a municipal standpoint, that's the only thing they can get. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you just get in some motherfuckers that rob and kidnap and aggravatedly batter people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're not getting the top-notch quality motherfuckers.
Right.
I mean, yeah. So, you know, it's like, you know, giving the crackhead some crack on credit. You know what I'm saying? That's, you're not gonna see that money.
Yeah.
But going back to what you were saying before, the young man that was shot, you got Laquan McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chicago been on that shit, man. Illinois's been on that shit for a long time. I mean, in my opinion, Chicago ranks up there with one of the most beautiful cities. I mean, this shit is, it's dope.
I love it. Good, beautiful people,
when,
man.
It's peaceful, it's dope.
I love Chicagoans, man. I love folks I know from Chicago. But yeah, just,
yeah, I mean, it's, when it's peaceful, there, it's dope. But
when it's peaceful, it's dope. Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's a given, right?
But how do you explain? I'm not immersed in the history of inner city crime or gang crime in Chicago to speak confidently enough about, you know, to statistically speak about it. But damn, if the numbers that you see are true, I mean, there's some issues there. Some issues there.
Yeah.
It's going to take some people with a lot more brain power than what I have to try to fix that. So, but anyway, man, we can go ahead and leave that right there, man. There is plenty of information out there on this particular act. It's called the Illinois Safety Act, and that's SAFE-T Act. It's some interesting reading. Draw your own conclusions. Again, based on some of the research that I've done, some of the things that you see are going to be politically slanted. They're going to be slanted from either the left, the right, Second Amendment people, whatever. So, you know, get your information from a credible source and, you know, digest it with an open mind based on what the actual bill says. But again, I think that it's something that Black people need to pay attention to. That's what we're talking about. So, man.
There you go.
Yeah, man. So, you got anything else on it?
Nah, man. I think it's, you know, time will tell type of thing. So, I think a year from now, half a year from now, we'll see some of the impacts. And hopefully it won't be to the detriment of Black America.
Right. So, man, you know what, man? We'll revisit it.
Yeah.
Since it goes into effect, 1-1, you know, we'll look at it next year sometime and see what the ramifications have been.
Right.
We'll definitely check that out, man. But in addition to Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, CastBox, iHeart, and wherever you enjoy your podcast, man. Once again, everyone, hit us on the text line because it's open once again. You can reach us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 704-886-6686. Once again, that is 704-886-6686. And we look forward to interacting with you, answering your texts and responding to your voicemails on the show. You can connect with us on our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Our handle is at ICBW Podcast. That is at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, and follow. And as always, we appreciate your listenership and your continued support.
Be good, be safe, and behave, brother.
And we out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't about it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. And you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. And you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture. And we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the Black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops killers daily and will never do time. While a crooked ass justice has the fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say. And since mama said living ain't no time to play. And since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should probably hurry, it gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should hurry up, it might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.